Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Gimel. And we're holding right at the bottom over there, the two dots. So the last thing that we learned yesterday was that we were talking about what you would do in a case where you have to make two brachas over the same, what appears to be the same kos. You have to do Birkat HaMazon. Let's say we had the case in Havdalah, or you had to do Kiddush and Havdalah. So the Gemara was machalic between Kiddush and Havdalah, which is considered to be one mitzvah, and therefore is not in violation of Osi Mitzvot Chavilot Chavilot. Masha'in Kain, Birkat HaMazon, to use the same kos for Birkat HaMazon, same bracha for Birkat HaMazon, and for Havdalah, that would be a problem of Osi Mitzvot Chavilot Chavilot. That's what we had spoken about, but that led us into the very rarefied world of what indeed is the relationship between the brachas in the case where you have a Shabbat that is followed by Yom Tov. So over there we've got ourselves a lot of brachas that we have to decide where to put. So as you know, of course, we have the bracha of the Yayin. The question, where does that belong? Yeah? We have the bracha of the Kiddush itself. We have the bracha of the Havdalah. We have the bracha of the Borei Morei Ha'esh, and we have the bracha of the Zman, which is the Shachiyanu that we're making on the Yontif. So even though we're saying Havdalah on the Shabbos, we still need to make the bracha of the Zman at the end or somewhere in the middle. It's not clear. There's a lot of issues that come up here. Now, there's one other question, and that is, you notice that I left out the question of where you make the bracha on the Besamim. Well, that's because, and there's a machlokas about this, that's because, according to the Rashbam, you don't make the bracha on the Besamim on a Mitzray Shabbos, which is a Yontev, because Yontev also has a Neshama Yitira. And therefore, you do not need the smell of the Besamim to restore the Avelut and the sense of loss that you have when you're coming into Yontev as when you're coming into Chol. Tosis doesn't like that shot in the Rashbam, because he asks, if that's the case, then why on Mitzray Yom Tov don't we have to use Besamim, if there is, in fact, an Neshama Yetira on Yom Tov? So therefore, Tosis says, the reason that we do not say a Borei Minei Besamim on a Mitzray Shabbos, which is a Yom Tov, is because of the fact that Yom Tov itself, it's not because you have an Neshama Yetira on Yom Tov, but because it's the holiday, the festive spirit, the wonderful Seuda of Yontev that's coming up, and all of the Chashivas of Yontev, that provides just as much of a soothing effect to the loss of your Neshama Yetira as the smell of the Besamim do, which is clearly psychologically correct. The question is, what exactly would the Rashbam do with the Taina of Tosfos? I mean, on that, it's certainly possible to say that there are different dargas of Neshama Yetira, and that only on the darga of the loss, the tremendous contrast between Shabbos and Chol, and that we know that there is such a concept because of the din of Tainiyos, that you're not supposed to generally have that kind of sudden transition from a Tainis on an Erev Shabbos into being Nichnas on Shabbos when you're still in the state of semi-avelut and vice versa. So there is contrast that we need to take into consideration. So it could be the Rashbam is simply saying there would be less contrast in the stira between Yom Tov and Chol. Okay, but in any event, it's a good thing to remember, there is no Besamim on a Mitzray Shabbos, which is a beginning of a Yom Tov. But that leads us into today's daf. So even though up until now, as we said, actually, I think it would be a good idea just to maybe go over once again, where is it that we are at here? So we did on Tzadik Tet. I just want to go out. I'm going to send it out to you. On Tzadik Tet, we talked about the issue of Achila on Arve Shabbatot, on Yomim Tovim in general, and in Pesach. And then we talked about the Smichus to Mincha. On Kuf, we talked about the additional machlokas about what to do with hafsakot if you did start eating. That was a machlokas with Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. And then on Kuf Amud Beis, we spoke about Shmuel's idea of not needing to follow necessarily Rabbi Yehuda Kipshuta, that you need to bench when Shabbos comes and start a new Seuda, or not to ignore Shabbos until after your Seuda like Rabbi Yossi and then say Kiddush. But rather, Shmuel suggested that we should use pores mapa umekadesh. You spread out the tablecloth. And that got us into other issues where we're pores mapa. We spoke about using a chaladek of bismanas and so on. On Kuf Aleph, we got into the question of the dinim of making kiddush in shul and whether you need kiddush b'makom seuda or not. And that was Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph. And then on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, we got into the question of whether shinuyim are mechayev you even without hesach hadas in new brachas. So we spoke about a shinui in the quality of the wine or the type of wine that you bring out. And we spoke about shinui makom in general with all of the machlokasin about shinui makom. And then on Kuf Beis, we got into the special case of the machlokas where it's a shinui makom, but it's talking about something that is mechuyev a bracha in its place, and the various shittas about what that is, whether it's Birchas HaMazon, Brocha Achas Mehin Shalosh for Mezonos, or Brocha Achas Mehin Shalosh for any of the Shivat HaMinim. Plus, we talked about the cases, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where you would leave people that were behind, and that would indicate that it's a continued Seuda, which was a further consideration about whether you'd have to make a Brocha at the end. And then on Kuf Beis, which we just finished, on Kuf Beis Amid Beis, we spoke about the problem of making mitzvahs chavilot. And as I said, we were mechalik between Birchas HaMazon and Kiddush, which are two totally different families of brachas, versus Kiddush v'Havdalah, which is the same set of Zechores Yom HaShabbat. Today, what we're going to get into is the interrelationship between the various brachas that one has to make on a Matzah Shabbos, which is also a Yontav. Now, this leads us into considering many, many different elements which are important. And one of them is, okay, what is a more chashuva mitzvah, Kiddush or Havdalah? Because, I mean, when you're talking about Kiddush, you're involved in the focus on Kedusha. When you're talking about Havdalah, you're focused on the fact that things chol is coming. And because of that, it's possible to say that the Kiddush is more chashuv. Now, there's another issue, however. The other issue is, and if you're going to say Havdalah first, before you say the Kiddush on the Yontav that is coming, it looks like you're trying to get rid of Shabbos more quickly. And that's called that it's nira alav kemasui. It looks like it's difficult for you. You'd like to finish it up. Because of that, we'd like to put it off as much as possible. But there's another issue that we need to take into consideration between the Kiddush and the Havdalah on a Mitzray Shabbos, which is coming into Yontav. And that is, if the Shabbos is more chashuv in general than Yontav, so it would be considered to be the king, let's say, or the queen, and Yontav would be considered to be a prime minister, wouldn't whatever you need to do for the king, even if it's to walk the king away, be more chashuv than what you would need to do for a prime minister, even though you're welcoming the prime minister? In which case, the chashivut of the Kiddush vis-a-vis Havdalah would not be as important as the chashivut of Shabbat vis-a-vis the Yontav. You could see that this is a completely different way of looking at it. Now, another thing that we need to consider is the idea of tadir ve'eno tadir, tadir kodem. So the Birchas Hayayin, and this was, remember, Beit Hillel Sfara back in Masechet Brachot, what about the relationship of Birkat HaYayin, which is always more tadir, to the bracha on Kiddush per se, or on Hamavda Ben Kodesh L'chol? So the Yayin, therefore, should come first. However, that is countered by another question, which is that the Yayin has to be noticeably part of the mitzvah of the both of the Kiddush and the Havdalah. Now, if you start with the Yayin, instead of putting the Yayin in the middle, then you've got such a long distance between the first bracha of the Yayin and whichever one you said first. Let's say you say Kiddush first. We're going to see that's a machlokas. Let's say you say Kiddush, Yayin, Kiddush. Then by the time you get to the Havdalah at the end, it looks like the Yayin wasn't there for the Havdalah, it was only there for the Kiddush, and the Havdalah is just the tail end. So maybe you should put the Yayin in the middle between the Kiddush and the Havdalah so that it's next to both of them. Then there's another consideration. If you've got an option of where to put the Yayin is much more shayach to the Havdalah than it is to the Kiddush. Why? Because you could theoretically make Kiddush on the piece of bread. you could make kiddush just sitting down at your table, and you don't even have to bring yayin to the table, right? So then if that's the case, it makes more sense to be mechaber the inyan of the yayin to the havdolah than to be mechaber the yayin, which can only be made on the yayin. You cannot make havdolah on bread, than to be mechaber it to the yayin. So that's yet to the kiddush. That's yet another question. Then we've got yet another question. And maybe you'd come up with the answer, okay, so let's say Kiddush and Havdalah right next to each other so we don't have a big gap between them, and don't worry about the other issues for now, which would be, where would we put the Ner? Do we try to make a normal Havdalah as much as possible? So we would do the Kiddush and then move on to the normal Havdalah to say the Borei Morei Ha'esh before we get to the Havdalah again. Well, maybe there's another question here. The other question would be, is it kedai to make as great a gap as possible between the Kiddush and the Havdalah because of another issue? And that would be, they are contradictory in a sense. In other words, one of them is focusing on the gaining of Kedusha, and one of them is focusing on the losing of Kedusha. Well, you can't just put the two of them together and say, well, but they're both elements of Havdalah, can you? Every single one of these issues needs to be examined in relation to every single other one of these issues, which means that every possible variation in the Seder of Kiddush v'Havdalah is, of course, going to be examined by some shita or another in today's daf. So I just thought it was kedai for us to think up front about what the things we're going to be dealing with are and then go through the various shitas. Okay. So in order to keep things easy, what the Gemara does initially is, as I said, it leaves out the question of besamim, either because there's no besamim since there is a neshama yetiran yantiv like the Rashbam, or there's no besamim since the simchas yantiv and the suda takes the place of the besamim, according to Tosfos. There are other issues as well, which Tosfos rejects. He says, I don't like the other approaches. And you can imagine those other approaches, which is that it's insulting to Yontif to go and to have to sniff Besamim to keep up your spirits, and so on and so forth. Those other answers, Tosfos feels, are not essential. So let us begin at the two dots in the bottom of Kukbezom and Beis. Oh, and yes, and the other thing we do, sorry, is in the middle of explaining what we do to simplify. The other thing we do to simplify is we leave out the question of where to put Shechiyanu. That we do only at the end of the sugya. First, let's talk about the main brachas that we're going to have to deal with. And remember, Shechiyanu is really not directly nogea the Kiddush or the Havdalah, because you could always say Shechiyanu whenever. If you remember that you didn't say Shechiyanu and you're walking through the middle of Machane Yehuda, you could say Shechiyanu right then and there. It's a Shechiyanu on the time. So, therefore, we keep it easy. We won't talk about Zman yet and Gufa. A yontav that comes after Shabbos, says the Gemara. So here's various shitas. Rav says, well, you should do yikneh. Now remember that this is yayin, kiddush, ner, and havdalah. So this is Rav shita. And that is because Rav holds for two reasons. We have to do kiddush first before we do the havdalah. First of all, because being mekadesh is a bigger mitzvah than saying goodbye to Kedusha. So because of that, it could be there's value in a brocha of Kiddush. And secondly, we never like to be mavdil on Mitzray Shabbos because we'd like to postpone saying goodbye to Shabbos as long as possible. So therefore, the first given that we have, according to Rav, is that we always will do Kiddush before Havdalah. Once we settle that issue, so then we're doing the Yayin first. That's because Tadir v'sheino Tadir, like Beit Hillel said back in Bracha. So we start with the Yayin Tadir. Then we do Kiddush, because Kiddush is more choshev than Havdalah for two reasons. Then we do Ner and Havdalah like a normal Havdalah, which is what we'd usually do. Shmuel disagrees on the fundamental question of whether Kiddush is more choshev than Havdalah. And therefore, that's the main issue between Rav and Shmuel. Now, we're going to have a lot of variations on the theme in that. But the biggest question over here is what comes first, Kiddush or Havdalah? So Shmuel holds Havdalah comes before Kiddush because of what we said before. It's necessary to treat Shabbos completely before you move on to dealing with the prime minister. Shabbos is the queen. You don't turn away just because the prime minister is now coming in, so to speak, as Yontif, and say, well, it's more important to greet the prime minister than to say goodbye to the king. So therefore, says Shmuel, of course not. You would have to do Havdalah first, despite the fact that we don't like doing Havdalah in this case. It's not interpreted as saying we'd like to get rid of the king. It's interpreted as being more concerned with being Malava the king. So it's in honor of the king. And that's the Malkat Shabbat. So that's the first issue. Shmuel says, you got it backwards, Rav. Havdalah comes before Kiddush. Yayin starts it off because of Tadir, Visha'ino Tadir. And when it comes to Ner and Havdalah, that's the way we always do it. So it makes perfectly good sense to say Yinhak instead of Yak Yikne. Okay, so that is our basic machlokas. Now comes all the variations on the theme. So Rabbah says the correct order is Yehanek. So he basically has three different elements of the discussion we had before. The question of putting the ner between Kiddush and Havdalah, that he holds like Rav, because, I mean, he says that, look, I mean, we don't want to put Havdalah and Kiddush right next to each other, because one contradicts the other. One is accepting greater Kedusha, and one is saying goodbye to the greater Kedusha. So it doesn't make sense to put them together. Okay. And that's as far as the putting the Ma'or in the middle. But he holds like Shmuel in the fundamental question of what comes first. So therefore, he puts Havdalah first. So in this case, he's got the Yayin because of Tadir, the Havdalah first because of Shmuel's idea, you need to deal with Shabbos before. He then puts in the Ner between the Kiddush and the Havdalah. And because of that, the necessity of making a distinction between the two of them, because they're going in different directions, and therefore he wants to keep them separate. We have another Levi's Shita that holds Kniyah. Now, I just want to mention to you that in the Yerushalmi, Rabbah and Levi is inverted, and the Shitas are inverted. The Rashbam suggests that this is here in the Bavli a mistaken girsa, and we really should have it the other way around, Levi taking over the Yehanek of Rabbah, and that's simply because that's always the way in which the Levi and Shmuel were all chaverim. Then they all had to do with each other. Rabbah came later, and it doesn't make sense that it should say Rabbah before we finish up with the three friends, Rav and Shmuel and Levi. So probably Rabbah comes at the end. Okay, in any event, the end would be the approach of Yinhak. So Yehanek or Kniyah. Why Kniyah? This is the opposite. Again, Kniyah holds fundamentally like Rav, first we do Kiddush. Why doesn't he say Todir Vishenu, Todir Kodir Kodim? This seems to be a disaster because he's going against Beis Hillel and he's putting the Yayin after the Kiddush. How could that be? Because he holds that we have to make certain that the Yayin is applied to both the Kiddush and the Havdalah. Whereas if you will say Yayin and then say Kiddush and only get to Havdalah at the end, it looks like the Yayin is being set for the Kiddush and not on the Havdalah. And that would be crazy because the main Yayin is a takana for the Havdalah and not for the Kiddush, as we mentioned, because Kiddush can be said even on bread. Mashenkin, the Havdalah has to be on Yayin. So because of that, he says, okay, say the Kiddush first because I hold of Rav about Kiddush. Then say the Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh, because we'd like to have the Birkas HaYayin as close to Havdalah as we possibly can. And we put the Havdalah all the way at the end, like we always do. And we want to make sure that it doesn't look like a Masoi to us, so that we go back to the normal Seder of the Havdalahs. If you'll ask, but wait, I mean, at least between the two issues of the Yayin and the Ner, so why don't we at least do the Yayin first, like we normally would do? Because again, then it would be mashma more than that it's on the Kiddush than on the Havdalah. Because you're saying both. On a normal Mitzvah Shabbos, you're only saying one. So there's no way to make a mistake what the Yayin is going on, and therefore we don't really care that we interrupt with the Borei Me'orei Ha'esh. But over here where you're saying both a Kiddush and a Havdalah, we do care to make it clear that you want to be saying that Yayin on the Havdalah. So the less of a distance that we have between the Yayin and Havdalah, the better. This is the Shita of Levi or of Rabbah, the way that we change the Girsa. Okay, then we've got yet another Shita. The Rabbanan say it's Kina. So again, right away, we see they hold like Rav. Kiddush comes before Havdalah. They also hold that it's important to put the Yayin in the middle so that it is close to the Havdalah. And that, therefore, we put first the Kiddush, and then we do the normal Seder of the Havdalah. Or it may be for another reason, and that is we want to put as much distance as we can between the Kiddush and the Havdalah because of the innate contradiction between the concept of Kiddush and the concept of Havdalah. So we have taken into consideration a number of the different factors over here. Now there's yet another possibility, and that is Marta Omar Mishmed Rav Yoshua, Nihak. Why would we say, Nahik, why would we say Nahik? Because, again, the Havdalah has to come before Kiddush, and that we explained before, as we're going to in a moment, that we always have to take care of Shabbos before we take care of the Yontev, and therefore we want to put the Yayin as close to the Havdalah as we can over here to make sure that it's going both on the Havdalah, and we want to make sure that it's going on the Kiddush as well, because they're both, even though the Kiddush could get away without it, we need to be Yotzi, the Takona of Chazal, to make Kiddush ala kos l'chatchila, and therefore we put the Yayin Smet bang in the middle between them to make sure that it goes on both of them. Sholach le'avod ishmu l'rab, l'rebi, yilamdenu rabbeinu, what is the correct Seder Havdalahs? Hey. Sholach le'kach amar Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi, who quoted his own father, Rabbi Yossi, who was quoting Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, and the correct one is Nahik. We haven't even dealt with Nahik. So why in the world does he hold the Nahik issue over here? Is as I explained to you. That's the Havdalah Kodem L'Kiddush. It's almost about to go into it. And the Mashal, why do we do this? Omer Reb Chanina Mashal Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. Why does he say this? Because he holds the Melech is Yotze, which is the Shabbos, and the Prime Minister is coming in, the Duke, or the Afarchus is Nichnas. What do you do? Obviously, you're Melavim et HaMelech first, which means that you have to say the Havdalah first, and only then do you talk about the Afarchus, which is saying the Kiddush. So you need to do the normal Havdalah, you say Ner and Havdalah, and there's another issue with the Ner, and that is the Ner is the first thing that you're Nehene from. And this was, I forgot to mention this before, that this is another factor, that Ner, which we talked about in Brochas, Ner is the first thing that you're Nene from after Shabbos, and because of that, its Brocha should come first, because you start seeing the lights as soon as you leave Shul, and people are turning on the lights for you. So, therefore, we still have to deal with the normal Seder of the Ner, and then we want to make sure that we take care of Shabbos, and then we want to make sure that we take care of Yontov at the end, and we want to see to it that the Yayin is in the middle so that it goes on both of them. Anyway, woof, this gives us every possible combination. My Havela, what's the din? Abaya Omar, the din is Yak Zina. Because if you ask me what the din is, I've got to discuss the issue of the Shechiyonu as well, and that's Zman. So Yak Zina, we put the Shechiyonu after the Kiddush, because, I mean, the Shechiyonu is not for the Havdalah. The Shechiyonu is for the Yontev. And therefore, before we move on to the Havdalah, if you hold like Rav that Kiddush comes first, then it only makes sense to do essentially what Rav said, which is the Yakna, and we put the Zman between the Kiddush and then starting the Havdalah. Whereas Rava says, no, Zman does not directly relate not to the Kiddush and not to the Havdalah. It's a bracha that is coming only because since we're dealing with the brachas at the time, so we also deal with the Shekhyono. But you can make the Shekhyono at any point, and therefore we keep it at the end, which is the normal Seder. First, we deal with the brachas that are specific to the wine and to this moment, and then we say the Zman, even though it looks a little funny to be saying Shekhyono after your Mavdil on the Shabbos. Well, why not? What if you would be outdoors and you wouldn't even be near your table? You would still say the Shekhyono. So why not keep it the way we usually have it, which is Yak Nahaz? And of course, as all of you know, Hilchot HaKirava, that's exactly what we do when this situation comes up, as it comes up very often. And it's first we say Borei Pri HaGefen, then we say the Kiddush, which is a greeting of new Kedusha, even though it's for the Afarchus, because, look, we don't want to make it look like we want to get rid of Shabbos, even though it's a covet of Shabbos, and we put off the Havdalah. Then we go back to the normal Seder of Havdalah, which is the Ner and the Havdalah. And then we go back to the normal Seder of when we say Shekhyono, which we would normally do on the Yontif, at the end of all the other brachas. Rav Huna bar Yehuda, Ikla lebei Rava. So once Rav Huna bar Yehuda comes to Rava's house, and Aite Lekame, and he sees that they bring in front of Rava Ma'or, Bisamim, and Rava went ahead, he made the bracha, this is a normal Havdalah, he made the bracha first on the Bisamim, and then he made the bracha on the Ner, which is, of course, exactly what we do all the time. So Amar Leis, Rav Huna bar Yehuda said to Rava after Havdalah, I don't understand what Rebbe just did. I don't understand. Doesn't it say in the Mishnah in Masechet Brachot that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel both say first Borei Morei Ha'esh and then Borei Minei Bisamim? What am I referring to? The Mishnah. It's not. Beit Shammai Omrim Ner Umazon Bisamim V'Havdalah. So now if you've got your issues over here was to what to say first, and you had a Birchas HaMazon that where you were eating, so you would say first on the Ner, then you would say Birchas HaMazon, then you would say Bisamim, and then you would say Havdalah, whereas Beit Hillel says, no, you say the Ner, and that I agree with you, and you say the Bisamim, and at least I agree with you in that, in the order of Ner and the Bisamim, but only then do you say Birkat HaMazon followed by Havdalah. But that means that everybody's agreeing that the bracha of the Ner comes before Bisamim, and you made the bracha of Bisamim before the Ner. Why? So Rava continued speaking. He didn't even answer him. He just continued quoting the Mishnah. Oni Rava Batrei. And Rava continued to say, that's a beautiful Mishnah you just quoted, except you forgot the addition. Zo divrei Rebbe Meir. This Mishnah is going according to Rebbe Meir's way of understanding the machlokas of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And therefore, it's the Stam Mishnah, because Stam Mishnah is Rebbe Meir. But Rebbe Yehuda says that this is all wrong. Nil nechleku Beit Shammai u Beit Hillel. There was never an argument the way you just discovered it, which is the question about where you say Birkat HaMazon and where you say the Havdalah. Everybody agrees that Birkat HaMazon comes first, Havdalah comes in the end. What was the real machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? Exactly this point. What comes first? The Borei Morei HaEsh or the Borei Minei Bisamim? Ama nechleku al ama orve al abisamim, whereas that Beit Shammai says, first make the bracha over the Ner, then make the bracha over the Bisamim. And Beit Hillel says, first make the bracha over the Bisamim, and then make the bracha over the Ner. And as Rabbi Yochanan pointed out, the minig and all of Klal Yisrael has become Nagu Am, according to the version of Rabbi Yehuda's version in Beit Hillel, namely that you make the bracha on Bisamim before the Ner, and that's the way everybody does it, and I'm simply doing it the way everybody does it. I don't know where you've been living, baby, but this is the way that it's done. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba came to Rava's house, and he was surprised by another thing, because he saw that Chazi de Borech Borei Pri HaGefen HaKasa Kama. So he sees Rava saying Borei Pri HaGefen for the Kiddush, and then he sees him saying another Borei Pri HaGefen on the Birkas HaMazon. And after he ate something for his Malav Malka, And then, only then, after making a Bari Priya Gafen, then he drank it. So he said to him, why do you need another Bari Priya Gafen? It's a machlokus over here between the Rashbam and Tosfos about whether it was over the same cup of wine. Tosfos Tainus, it's impossible. I never heard of such a thing that we would say two brachas over one kos, just because there was a Hafsaka b'neim, and one of them was for the covet of the Havdalah. He disagrees and holds that it was another cup. But in any event, the question is, why can't you continue to drink wine based on your original bracha? I mean, you knew perfectly well when you made the Havdalah that you were going to, or in this case, you made the Kiddush. You knew perfectly well that you were going to be eating and you were going to be benching, and that after the benching, you would be making a bracha on the kosher yayin. Well, why make a bracha on the kosher yayin Bari Priya Gafen? You're holding the yayin based on the bracha that you made at the time of Kiddush. And Omar Lehi, Lama Lecha Kulei Hai. Didn't you already say the bracha on the Kiddush? So what was the point over here? And I mean, why make another one? Listen, Rabbi Yaakov, I mean, when we were together, remember, I mean, we were over at the Reish Galus's house, and that's how we were taught to do it, you know, and nobody ever said anything. Why all of a sudden are you worried about it? Well, of course, it was a completely different situation. When we were over at the Reish Galus's house, of course that's what we did. Tenach be Reish Galuta dachi avid. Because you had no idea, you weren't the boss, right? I mean, so you had no idea whether the Reish Galusa was going to be sending you out another cup of wine after the meal to be able to make a bracha on the Birkat HaMazon. It wasn't your wine. So because of that, your original das could not have been to drink a cup of wine that you didn't know would be there. So Suffolk Maitelan, Suffolk Lo Maitelan. We had no idea whether we were going to have another wine to drink. But, I mean, here we're in your own home. And you knew perfectly well that here is the bottle, it's right in front of us, and at the time that you made Kiddush, you knew perfectly well that you were going to be making a Birkas HaMazon, so why would you need to make a new bracha? So Rava explained to him, because I'm following the Talmidim, the story of the Talmidim of Rav, the famous story, where Rav Bruna and Rav Chananel, they were both Talmidim of Rav, they were sitting together in a Su'udah, and it was they would take turns serving each other. So Rav Yeva Saba, who was also one of the Talmidim of Rav, and that's a pretty dangerous, very Adam Choshev to be serving you, and he was the waiter for the night, and they said to him, bring us a cup of wine so we could say Birkat HaMazon. And then they said to him, you know what? Forget it. We don't want to drink Birkat HaMazon yet. We're having a good time. Let's have another bit of wine before we get to Birkat HaMazon. So the Sof Amr like, just bring some more wine to the table and we'll have a little bit of a wine fest. So this is like that famous story about the guy who ordered over Google the pizza, right? And he gets the message back. You can't have that kind of pizza because your cholesterol level has been X or whatever. And so he's not allowed to order that kind of pizza. So he attempts to order something else. So then they say, well, you can't do that because that's high in calories. Your current weight is reported by your scale this morning, and such and so on. Then he tries to pay for his pizza. Google won't let him order the pizza because he's overused his credit limit on that particular credit card, and it's on and so forth. So this is when you're trying to deal with Rabbi Yehuda Saba, you might as well try to order pizza over Google. It's a disaster because Rabbi Yehuda Saba says, no way, Jose, I'm not bringing you these cups of wine because you're not allowed to have these cups of wine because, you know, you call yourself Talmidim of Rav, Hachi Amar Rav. Once you said those final words, give us a cup of wine to say Birkat HaMazon, then at that moment you were misalik your das from the Seudah. And now you are not allowed to drink anything else, and you are going to have to. Now, there's two ways of understanding this. And of course, it's dependent on the Tosfos and the Rashbam that we discussed yesterday. When you are misalik dat from an original bracha, does that mean that in order to continue and do the same type of achila or shtia, you need to make a new bracha rishena? Or does it mean you need to first make the bracha achrona and then make a bracha rishona? Now, we still haven't decided that. It was Tosfos was saying you do not really have to. Remember in yesterday's sugya, when we were talking about Reb Yehuda, and you're running out, l'krat chas v'kala, that you're supposed to first say a birchas hamazon or a bracha achas b'yan sholosh, depending on the shita, and then when you come back, you make a new bracha. Well, Tosfos says, remember, that's not because you have to make the bracha achrona before you now continue doing the same kind of thing. If you forgot to make the bracha achrona, when you come back, you don't make a bracha achrona. You just make the bracha rishona. The only reason we said you needed to make the bracha achrona was because we're afraid since you're running out, you may end up being out too long to be able to ever make that bracha achrona. And because of that, we want you to make the bracha achrona, start over again when you come back. The same achlokas would be, there's many rishonim who do not hold that. And the way that they understand the Rav Yehuda Sava's psak, which is always called the Talmidei Rav, because it's what came out of the whole interaction, Talmidei Rav. This is the always referred to as Kit Talmidei Rav all over Shas. So the Talmidei Rav, according to the other approaches, are saying that once you said we are going to bench, you cannot drink anything until you do Birkat Hamazon and then start over again. So that he wasn't just telling them, and that's the pashas of the sugya, right? Because he says it's usher for you to drink, which is mashma, that there's a real problem over here about their original intent to say Birkat Hamazon, and not that he's just telling them, hey, make sure you make a bracha. He seems to be objecting to what they're doing. Okay, so there's two very, very different approaches over here. And that would mean, says Rava, that I certainly would have to make a new bracha here after my Birkas Hamazon, even though I had purely a bracha beforehand with a complete understanding that I would need to be drinking afterwards, and I still am going to need to make a bracha. So again, this is a major machlokas, because according to the Rosh and according to the Rif, we follow the Shita of Tosfos over here, and even though Rashi over here, we don't have really a Rashi, but the same sugya comes up in Chulin. Rashi says the same thing as Tosfos. You do not need to make a bracha achrona on what you had just because you were nimlach and you need to make a new bracha rishona. And so according to that, he's not telling them that you're going to have to make a bracha achrona. Okay, so the Rashbam, however, says if you were going to say a birchas hamazon, and you said Havlon Livrach, so then you do have to make a bracha achrona. And this becomes a big machlokas between, which we'll talk about afterwards when we go over the halacha between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, maybe differences between Svarim and Ashkenazim, as we'll discuss in a moment. Okay, anyway, so because of that, I had to make a new bracha. That's the reason. Now, Amemar and Marzutra were once sitting together, and Rav Acha Bar Derava, this was not on Shabbos, it's Stam. This is Rav Acha Bar Derava. He was the one that it was his turn to be the waiter. And everybody acted differently. What happened over here was that Amemar, every single time there was a new cup of wine, Amemar would say a new bracha, even in the middle of the sugya, in the middle of the suda. By the way, you will notice, of course, the relevance of these issues to the question of whether you need to make a bracha achrona after each one of the arba kosot, and whether you need to make a bracha rishona on each one of the arba kosot because of a hefsek or because of a special takana. These questions are very nogeya the Hagadosh HaPesach and what constitutes a hefsek between the various kosot, as we'll see when we get into the Seder of the Achila during the Haggadah. But that's why this is very much part of our sugya over here. So anyway, here they were, and Amemar makes a bracha over every single cup. Marzutra, he made a bracha only on the opening bracha, when the first time he had a cup of wine. He didn't make another bracha on any of the other wine until it came to the kosher bracha for Birchas Hamazon. Then on that, he did make another bracha. Rav Ashi, he only made one bracha on the first cup of wine that was brought. And even after he said the Birchas Hamazon, he drank another cup of wine over which he had said the Birchas Hamazon without making a bracha on it. So there's Rav Acha Bereda Rava, and he's the waiter, and he's going nuts because he was very happy being the waiter, but he was hoping that he would learn what the halacha is by watching how these guys were noyeg. So he says, oh, man, I'm more confused now than I was before. So what am I supposed to do? I'm not Gemar Navid. So will you guys please explain to me what's going on over here? Everybody is doing halacha differently. So indeed, everyone explained to him why they were doing what they were doing. Amemar says, look, I mean, don't learn anything from me because basically I don't drink that much wine. And when I drank that first kos, I did not have in mind to drink any more wine. I felt pretty much alcoholed out. And so because of that, when I realized I would like another cup of wine, every single time it was like a new deal for me, and that's called nimlach. So because of that, I, of course, made a bracha, and that has nothing to do with the machlokas that we've been talking about. Everybody agrees that nimlach requires a new bracha. Mar Zutra says, well, I mean, I made a bracha on the first one because I was not nimlach, and nonetheless, I still had to make a bracha on the last one after the Birkat HaMazon because I was simply going, like Rava pointed out, as the Tamid HaRav, and the story of Tamid HaRav demanded that once you said it's time for Birkat HaMazon, you need to make another bracha. So that's exactly what I did. Rav Ashi says, well, I made one bracha, and that bracha is good for all of them, and I do not believe that the halacha is like Tamid HaRav, and I'll tell you why. I think that Rabbi Abba Sava actually misrepresented Rav's das, and I'll prove it to you. Because when Yontif comes out after Shabbos, what did Rav say? Rav says that you're supposed to say Yikneh. We had the Yaknahaz in the end, right? So Rav says, always say the Kiddush before the Havdalah, and do it in that order. Now, that means that Rav did not say you need to make a new Borei Pri HaGofen for the Havdalah. So why in the world would you need a new Borei Pri HaGofen over here for Birkat HaMazon? Now, again, Tosfos Tanya is on the Rashbam. That's kind of ridiculous. Over here, that would be talking about the same cup, right? So if it's the same cup, whoever heard of such a thing. All right. So in the question, therefore, is why in the world would we not have been mitaken a second cup, is the way people understand the Rashbam. And according to Tosis, the question is that the Birkat HaMazon is what we're showing over here. We're taking for granted if there would have been Achila, so the Birkat HaMazon shouldn't be considered to be a hefsek on the same way that we're understanding it over here. So if you're talking about a normal su'udah where we don't have the problem of the yaknahaz with the havdalah in the middle, so if we say after the hagefen only kiddush, obviously that birkas hagefen is for the kiddush, that's all one thing. But if you're going to do havdalah and kiddush together, then these two separate brachas afterwards should be considered to be a hefsek because it's a separate mitzvah. Okay, so there's various ways of understanding the raya, but as the Gemara points out, it's not a raya. Because in there, when you're talking about birkas hamazon, by definition, you're not going to be drinking. So hasam akardaita mimishtaya, in the case where we're talking about we had a birkas hamazon, and therefore you can't be drinking at that time. But over here with the Aknahaz, on the contrary. What do you mean you're not drinking? Your whole point is you're going to be drinking. You're making a Birkas HaYayin, and you can't wait to get to that wine. And after your Birkas HaKiddush and Birkas HaMazon, so why in the world would it be considered to be a hefsek? There's no comparison whatsoever. And anyway, continuing now, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba. So Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba had come to, as we said before, he had come to visit Rava on Shabbos, and he was there for Havdalah. So getting back to that, Kimot El Avdule, when it was time for Rava to be Mavdil, so he sees that the butler in Rava's house gets up, brings a Havdalah candle, which is a torch, technically, because it's got more than one wick. He lights the Havdalah candle from one of the lamps that was burning anyway from before in order to have a Havdalah candle. So Rav Yaakov Bar Abba asks Rava, I don't understand, why in the world would you need a Havdalah candle? There's a candle that's burning right there in front of you. Can't you just use that to say, Borei Morei Ha'esh, Haman Chashraga? So Rava said to him, no, this butler does whatever he wants. He decided that you needed to light the Havdalah candle. So that's why. Shama midaitin and avshaka avid. Says Rav Yaakov bar Ava, come on, man, don't give me that stuff. You know perfectly well, ilo shmiel emine demar lo avi avid. If he hadn't heard from you that that's what he's supposed to do, he never would have done it. So tell me what's going on over here. Omar lay, so Rava said to him, well, lo sever le mar avuka l'avdala mitzvah min amufcha. Do you not hold that it's better to have a torch than just a simple flame? Because as you know, we don't say borei me'or ha'esh, we say borei me'orei ha'esh. The reason we say that is because we like to see all of the different combinations of the different temperatures in that flame. So you've got your white area, you've got your blue area, you've got your yellow area, you have the red area. It's filled with all of these wonderful different levels of energy emission, which ends up being, of course, the discovery of quantum mechanics in the end, which is really, it's Borei Me'orei Ha'esh, that is the source of quantum mechanics, amazingly, right? That's how it all started, is how in the world do we account for these different levels of emissions and for the contradictions in black body emissions. All of that was the first thing that Adam Harishon noticed right after Shabbos. You can imagine that Planck was right there at his side in Dor V'Dorshav, right? So, okay, if that's the case, you could certainly get a better show of all of those different colors with a larger flame. So because of that, it's a mitzvah min amufcha to have a torch. So, I mean, basically the Achronim talk about, I mean, why did he not want to tell him that right off the bat? I mean, what was he telling him? No, the guy did it on his own. So they actually derive a halacha from this Gemara. And the halacha is that if you have a candle burning, even though the avuka is a mitzvah min amufchar, you do not need to bring the avuka. And Rava thought that that's what he was asking him. Don't you have a candle burning? So Rava said, yeah, but the butler doesn't know about that particular din. He only knows that every week we use the Havdalah candle. So he brought Havdalah candle. So then when he insisted, wait a minute, you must have told him, Rava realized, why in the world would I must have told him? Ah, he probably doesn't understand that there's a mitzvah amuf of the avuka. Oh, says, wait a minute over here, there's a misunderstanding. You mean you're asking why I use a torch? Don't you hold that there's a mitzvah, that avuka is mitzvah and amufcha? That's how the Magen Avraham understands the interaction over here. It's fascinating. Okay, but so that makes it make sense. Okay, anyway, so now the adventure continues, because now that we've got to the end of that argument, so then he was able to start saying Havdalah. Okay, so he says Havdalah. Baruch atah Hashem, amavil, ben kedesh lechol, ben or lechayshech, ben Yisrael la'amim, ben yom hashvi, l'sheshes imei ha'maaseh. So Rav Yaakov bar Ava said, what is all of this? What are all of these havdolas? Ben kedesh lechol, ben or lechayshech, ben yom hashvi, l'sheshes imei Yisrael la'amim. I don't understand. Why don't you just say ben kedesh lechol? Lama lechol kulei hai? Didn't Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, when he made havdolah, all he said was, Hamavdil ben kedesh lechol zoi avdolat shel Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. If it's good enough for Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, it's not good enough for you. What's this new frumkeit around here to give me a super duper havdalah? Rebbe was happy with just a plain old fashioned havdalah. Omar lei, so Rabbi said to him, because I hold of Rabbi Elazar Amar Rabbi Oshaya, and he said that hapochet lo yivchot mishalosh v'hamosif lo yosif al sheva. Now we're going to see that there are Sheva primary Havdolas that are listed in the Torah. We don't make up new Havdolas. The Havdolas that the Torah calls Hamavdil, those are the Havdolas that we can mention. So that if there are seven, you can't go beyond seven, but you should not have fewer than three. So there's a little bit of a machlokas. So what's your objection? He's going to say four. What's wrong with four? And yet Rabbi Yaakov says, but Omar Lei, you didn't say three and you didn't say seven. You said four. So Rava said to him, it's not true. I said three. But before we get to what he answered him, why in the world is it a problem? If you're not supposed to say more than seven or less than three, doesn't that give you an option to say anything in between? So the Rashbam understands that the question is that, look, I mean, if there's an inyan not to be mafchis and you want not to be mafchis, fine, so then say three. If there's an inyan to be maskir, the maximum, so then say seven. But, I mean, just to take something arbitrarily, why? Why did you take something arbitrarily? But Tosfos learns that the Gemara's question is that normally when we have different references, those references are always used in order to be a remez to something else. So let's say we're talking about making your tzitzis. Tosfos brings this example. You know, so over there also we have, well, you can use seven because of the Shiva Rikian, or you can use 13 because the difference between the seven Rikian and the Rikian themselves, the space between them. We don't just take things. So probably the three and the seven was connected, something or other we're not familiar with, but I mean, why would you simply go to four? That's how Tosfos understands it. So anyway, so you said, Amavu ben Kodesh L'chol, ben Or L'chol, Shech ben Yisrael Amim, that's three. And then you said, Ben Yom HaShvi L'Shesh Yedimei HaMaaseh. So that's four. Omar Leh, no. I said three. The last thing that I said, namely, quote, Ben Yom HaShvi L'Shesh Yedimei HaMaaseh, unquote, that is not being said by me as a list of things. That was said as an introduction to the closing bracha Baruch Atah Hashem HaMavda Ben Kodesh L'Chol. Because the din is that if you have a bracha arichto, you have a long bracha, which means it has both a psicha and a chasima, and it mentions things in the middle. So then the din is that in advance of the chatimata bracha, you reintroduce the theme. So first I said the three that I mentioned, Mavdo Mikodesh L'chol, Benon L'chosher, Ben Yisrael Amim. Now that I want to introduce the closing bracha, Mavdo Ben Kodesh L'chol, so I said, Ben Yom HaShvi'il, Sheshizimei HaMaaseh, and that leads me into Baruch Atah Hashem, Amavdo Ben Kodesh L'chol. So I really only said three. Because basically, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said that when you're being Mavdo, since it's a long bracha, Tzarech Shiomar Me'in Chatima Samuch L'Chatimato. So you have to utilize the bracha of the Chatima before you get to the Chatima. You have to say something about the Havdolah Ben Kodesh L'chol. So I said, Yom HaShvi'il Sheshizimei HaMaaseh. But in Pumbedisa, they say that it's actually, you need to say me'in ha'pticha samuch l'chatima. I need to relate it back to the opening of the bracha, which doesn't seem to make any sense because obviously it's the same thing. I mean, the bracha opens with the concept of Havdalah and closes with the concept of Havdalah. So what would that mean? My benayu is exactly the same. No, because what have we been discussing? A Shabbos that is followed by Yontav. But in a Shabbos that's followed by Yontav, the end of the bracha is Hamavdo ben Kodesh l'Kodesh, not Hamavdo ben Kodesh l'Chol. So now the question is, do I look at the beginning of the bracha, which is Hamavdo ben Kodesh l'Chol? I don't say Hamavdo ben Kodesh l'Kodesh. So therefore, shall I say at the end just Ben Yom HaShvi'il L'Shesh Yedimei HaMaaseh, which would be Mi'ein the Pticha, or do I say Mi'ein the Chatima? So then that means that you would have to say Ben Kedusha Shabbos, the Kedusha Yom Tov, Hivdalta, Vikidashta, and the whole business that we say, which is a beautiful introduction to a closing that goes Hamavdo Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh, but it's irrelevant to the beginning. That's the difference. So if you hold that you have to say Mi'ein Chatima, if you hold Mi'ein Peticha, Tzman Diom Remein Peticha, Somal Chatima, you don't have to say that whole business, Ben Kedusha Shabbos, Le Kedusha Yom Tov, Yivdalta, and so on and so forth. Nah. But if you hold Be'in Chatima, so then you'd have to go through that whole thing. Be'boi L'meima, Ben Kedusha Shabbos, Le Kedusha Yom Tov, Yivdalta. And as the Rashbam points out, it's beautiful. Why not say it? Nobody said you're not allowed to say it. The question is whether you have to say it. So we don't say all of the days, and indeed we say it. Okay, so now we've gotten through the Dinim of Havdalah, but tomorrow we're going to have to go through all of these Havdalahs that are listed in the Torah and wonder why some others are not included.